Thank you, band. My goodness. You know, I lived in Colorado for almost 12 years, and I never, ever lost the amazement at looking at the mountains there. And band, you have done such an incredible job every Sunday over and over and over again, and I never cease to be inspired and amazed by your presentations. Never have taken you for granted. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I shared a story with you a week or so ago about the guy who went to the psychiatrist and said, I'm a wigwam, I'm a teepee, and the doctor said, you're too tense, and got some reaction to that. Well, I've heard from that psychiatrist, he had another story to tell. He had a gentleman come in and said, Doc, I don't know what to do, I feel like I'm a goat. And the doctor said, well, how long have you felt like this? And he said, ever since I was a kid.
Time to quit.
I wasn't going to do it until she was so resistant to it, and then I decided that I would. I also shared with you a couple of weeks ago about, in my researching the month on curiosity, that I rediscovered a book called The Perennial Philosophy by Aldous Huxley. And this book is a collection of ideas and beliefs and questions that have been repeated down through the millennia. He actually researched back as far as 2,500 years about the topics that have come up in the minds of humankind during all this time, and then things that get repeated over and over again. And one of those things is self-knowledge. Every generation seems to have to revisit this again and answer that question for themselves. What is the self-knowledge that we have about ourselves? And this is an important question, I think, for humankind that we need to look at for ourselves today. Actually, it goes back a long time. The ancient Roman philosopher Boethius said, in other living creatures, ignorance of self is nature. In man, it is vice. And then from the Greeks, the aphorism, know thyself, was written, inscribed in the entrance to the temple of Apollo at Delphi. Know thyself. And I talked to my good friend Google, and Googled books, modern books on self-knowledge, and got 300 million hits. So the question of self-knowledge is still in the mind of modern man, humankind, and it's still there for us as well. Now, we each live out of the current state of consciousness that we hold in any given moment, whether that's a high consciousness or a low consciousness. We can't do anything else. We have to live out of where we are. And that state of consciousness that we hold in any given moment is largely determined, I believe, by the level of self-awareness that we have, the level of self-knowledge that we have about ourselves. Now, if it is that important, then we need to ask the question, how do we come about acquiring this self-knowledge or this self-awareness? And I think there are basically three ways that we do that. The first way is that others tell us about ourselves. There's a dynamic in psychology called Johari window. And it's a square with four squares inside of it. And the sections of the square represent, one square is things that we don't know about ourselves and nobody else knows about ourselves. Another square is the things that represents the things that we know and that other people know. The other square is the things that I know that other people don't. And the other one is the things that other people know that I don't. And that is an illustration for us in trying to increase that square where of things that we know and other people know and reduce all the other squares, because that increases our self-knowledge of ourselves. Self-awareness of ourselves. And that's a good thing. That's something that we work toward. And one of the ways that that comes to us is by what other people tell us. But other people observe what we do, what we say, how we act, and feed back to us things about ourselves. This begins in childhood, of course. In the little ones, what happens when a child is learning to manipulate things and motor skills start developing, and the child learns to take a round peg and put it in the round hole and a square peg and put it in the square hole, and what do the adults do that witness that? Oh, that's good. Yay, you are so smart. Look at that. And every achievement is rewarded under ideal circumstances. It just grieves me to no end to know that there are children who grow up and there's nobody there to cheer them on. There's nobody there to appreciate them. There's nobody there to tell them how wonderful they are, how beautiful they are, how amazing they are. But we begin to pick up our self-awareness, our self-knowledge from other people and the way they feed it back to us. And as I said, ideally, that is positive reinforcement for us. And it works both ways. The negative information that we get, we incorporate into our self-knowledge as well. So we trust, we hope that children have those people around them who can give them that sense of self-awareness, that sense of self-knowledge that is positive, that is wholesome, that is healthy. And this continues all through life. We often work for rewards. I mean, people go to work and they do everything they can so their boss will tell them they did a good job and then get rewarded for it in some way. And in personal relationships, we listen to our friends who talk to us and give us ideas about who we are and what we are and how we're showing up in the world. And that makes a big difference in the growth that we experience and how we feel about ourselves. A lot of people get to, we talked last week about the midlife crisis. A lot of people reach that place because the self-knowledge that they have is not adequate to take them forward. The self-awareness that they have has them stuck in one place, and it doesn't go any further than that. So as important as this input from others is in developing our self-knowledge and our self-awareness, it alone is not enough. So there's a second way that we gain this self-awareness and self-knowledge, and that is by what goes on within ourselves, what we decide for ourselves. And again, at a very early age, children get to that marvelous place where they learn to say no. And that's always a big step for them and for the parent, especially a first-time parent when they begin to experience that. But very early on, a child decides, I like chicken, I don't like fish. I like strawberries, but I don't like grapes. And that comes from within. They make those decisions. They make a decision about the kind of things they're afraid of and what they're not afraid of. I've seen kids who, once they learn to walk, they're climbing. And once there's a tree, they're up the tree like a little monkey or something. And some kids are afraid to even sit on a chair. They're not afraid of heights completely. And how that happens, I'm not sure. Well, there's some explanations. But we see that developing. It comes from within us. We get senses, children begin to develop senses about what they like to do and what they'd like to be, who they like to be around. Do they like to be involved in active things and loud things, or are they more quiet? I can remember my mother telling me stories, and I've told you before about my penchant for being an introvert. I remember telling that when there were a bunch of kids around, they'd be all over here playing, and I'd be over here by myself playing. So that showed up very early on, this potential, this preference for solitude and this preference for being an introvert. That is something that comes from within us. So along with getting input from the outside and coming to know what's happening or how people are seeing us from the outside, there is that information that comes up from within us that begins to contribute to the way we see ourselves and the way we show up in the world. Now that is important as well. It's very important in the development of the human being, the human psyche, for this self-informing information. But even that is not enough to make a whole person. So that third way that we gain self-awareness or gain self-knowledge is from spirit. Charles Fillmore said that there are two ways of growing. One is by human experience and one is by direct revelation from spirit. There's a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, and Peter was always the first one to jump into the fray. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And Jesus said, "Simon, you didn't come by this conclusion about who I am by talking to people and getting input. It didn't even come from with your own reasoning power, your own logic. It came from spirit, was revealed to you, and that's what you spoke." So this is one of the ways that we come to know ourselves. Perhaps it is the most important, the best way that we come to know ourselves is by this direct revelation of spirit. Now, around here, you hear all the time about your encouragement to pray and the encouragement to meditate and the encouragement to study. And we don't do that just for the heck of it, but it is because out of that experience of prayer and meditation and study, a deeper understanding of self will emerge. And we open ourselves to Spirit's influence and the revelation of Spirit as to who we are. There are things that we come to know about ourselves that can't come from these other ways. It must come from Spirit because it is beyond that understanding. That sense of pure being, that sense of pure belonging can't come from the world. That sense of knowing who you truly, truly are can't come from another person. That must come from your source, which is Spirit. Now, I've talked to a lot of people about this matter of God communicating with us. And there are people who very confidently say, well, God told me this. And it's interesting to watch people's faces when someone says something like that, because a lot of people, you know, they get this look on their face like, oh, really? You know, God spoke to you. God hasn't spoken to me lately, but God spoke to you. And that's a part of our lack, I think, of spiritual understanding. But people use that phrase, and some people mean that they literally hear, like with an audible voice, God speaking to them. And that certainly is a legitimate phenomenon. But there's also that deep communication within us. I remember one time I was actually riding an exercise cycle early in the morning when I was in ministerial school many years ago. I had a very busy life back then. I got up at 4 o'clock every morning, worked out, got ready, drove the 45 miles to school, and then went to school and went on my day from there. But I remember one morning I was on my exercise cycle just going to it, and I was praying, and it came to me. I thought, you know, God's voice sounds a whole lot like my voice. And my voice sounds a whole lot like God's voice. And I did a whole sermon series around that thought. But very often that voice of Spirit speaking within us is not an audible voice like we would hear from a human being. It is a sense that we have. It's an understanding. It's a feeling. It's a revelation of the truth that is before us. And we can get that sense, that deep sense of peace that will not come from anything else. We get that deep sense of knowing that will not come from anything else. We get that deep sense of pure belonging and pure being that will not come from anywhere else. And it is there that our understanding of ourselves gets rounded out. We take that information from the world and from other people who tell us about ourselves. This happens sometimes where you don't really want to hear what people tell you. Years ago, when I was first starting out in ministry, my wife told me one Sunday that when I was up there preaching, I rattled the change that was in my pocket. And I said, I don't do that. No. So one Sunday morning, I'm preaching away, and I thought, oh my gosh, I am doing that. So we take those things that people tell us and make that part of ourselves. We take the things that come up from within our own understanding, our own observation of ourselves, and we incorporate that. But then when those inspirations from Spirit come, it rounds that out. It completes that. It takes us beyond where those things can take us. So Spirit moves within us in different ways, and Spirit speaks, if you will, in different ways to everyone. For some, it's a very visceral, sensory kind of experience. In some, it's etheric and indescribable. But in every way, Spirit communicates. And I suspect that very often Spirit is speaking to people and they don't really recognize what it is. Oh, that's just a random thought that ran through my mind. That was just a little bit of insight that came. It's really nothing special. And all the time they're crying for Spirit to speak, and all the time Spirit is speaking and they're attributing it to something else. So I'd encourage you to begin to listen real closely to your heart. And when something comes that doesn't come from anywhere else, then understand that comes from Spirit. When there's an insight that comes out of the blue, often that is Spirit speaking. And very often when you've thought about something over and over and over again and gotten stuck, and then when that thought continues, that thought opens up, that is Spirit speaking then. So don't hesitate to claim that. Say, this is Spirit speaking, and I'm going to incorporate this. I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to make it my own and claim that, rather than saying, well, Spirit never speaks to me. I think very often that we're asking things from Spirit and saying, okay, I want it right here. I want it in this form. I want it to look like this. I want it to sound like this. And then that's the way it's going to be. And then everywhere but right there, Spirit is scream. Well, spirit doesn't scream, but spirit is whispering very loudly exactly what we need to hear, exactly what we need to hear and to know, but we're demanding that it has to be like this, so we miss it. So what I would encourage you in this process of knowing yourself, as you listen to what other people tell you, as you listen to what you figure out on your own, also listen to that voice of spirit that speaks in different ways and be open to it. Recognize when that little inspiration comes and say, that is spirit. And when you see something that's completely out of context and suddenly it makes sense to you, that's spirit. And when that sense of peace comes into your heart that goes beyond everything else, then acknowledge that spirit present, that spirit communicating with me, that spirit informing me about who I am and what I am, and incorporate that into your self-knowledge, into your self-awareness. And that continues to grow on and on. And the wonderful thing about self-knowledge is that it never ends. When someone tells you they've learned everything that there is to know about any particular topic, then you can just pat them on the back and say, bless you. If they say they've learned everything, then they've learned everything that they can learn, but they haven't learned everything there is to learn. So we know that we continue to grow. And it's interesting, as I look back on my own life, we see that very often it goes like this. You know, we're going along, we're learning, and we hit this plateau. And then we get accustomed to it, we take it for granted, and it seems like nothing's happening. Then a new book comes along, or a new message comes along, and once again it starts up. So we go through these cycles, and that's okay, that's perfectly normal. I think if we stayed on a spiritual high all the time, our bodies would burn out in a little while, because there's just too much intensity there, too much energy. So be aware that you're in a constant state of growth, a constant state of learning, constant state of recognizing who and what you are, and that self-knowledge, that self-awareness continues to deepen in its own way. Spirit speaks as we are ready to hear. Spirit speaks as we are open. Spirit gives to us what there is room for us to receive. Spirit gives to us that which we're going to use and to apply in our life. So let us, during this week, I encourage you to be ready to deepen your self-knowledge, your self-awareness in all these ways. Listen to what other people have to say to you. It doesn't mean you have to accept everything that you hear is true, but at least listen to it. And then listen to what happens within yourself when you say, I like this, I don't like this, I anticipate this, I don't anticipate that. Allow that to be valuable as well, but also allow that voice of spirit to move within you and to inform you and to show you those things that you have not yet seen. Know thyself. Bless you.
Oh, you know, I need to learn not to make any reaction and let him know that I think one of his jokes is really stupid, because sure as the world, he will stand here and say it. So that's one thing about not having all of you here together, is Lawrence misses telling you his stories, and I miss having you here to support me in groaning about some of them. But anyway, you know, as we reflect on the messages we hear from others and what we hear within ourselves, giving is one of those. And so I'm just so thrilled that some of you have personally shared with us. And others, I just know by seeing that you donate, you give. So many of you have continued your weekly and monthly giving, and we appreciate that so very much. Of course, some of you are shopping online, so please remember that smile.amazon.com will gladly contribute to us if you choose Unity Church of Pompano Beach as your charity. And every couple of months, we get a little bit of money in from the donation department at Amazon. So I encourage you, as you do your Amazon shopping, to sign up and there on It's Easy, all of the things that you use on Amazon with your orders and research and returns, and all of that is just the same. So smile.amazon. We have many ways to give here. And one is to send your check into church. Another way is to use the donate button on our website. It's right there, and you click on that. Another way is that when you're registering for our various activities, you go ahead and use that as an opportunity to donate, to say, I recognize the value in spiritual study. I recognize the value in getting myself immersed in the love and caring community that we have here. So there is also a number you can text to give. If you're out and about and you use all of those apps on your phone, we have one for giving. So there are many ways to give, but mostly we encourage you to just give. Certainly we appreciate your financial giving here as it enables us to keep going. 3 months now, we've been broadcasting live here. We've been able to keep our band on, thanks to you. And we've been able to keep our staff operations going. So we thank you for that. But we encourage you to give of your heart, give of your love, give of your smiles, and give of your joy to keep everybody uplifted. You know, it's challenging for all of us, for me and Lawrence too. We miss you. I miss being up close and personal with my grandchildren. We miss so many things, but we can't dwell on that, can we? We infuse what we can with the joy and the gift of ourselves in so many ways. So thank you for your giving. Let's bless whatever it is you have given so far, whatever it is you intend to give. We hold the idea of giving our money, giving our time, giving our talent, giving our smiles, giving our love. For indeed, we have all of these gifts. And the more we share, the better we will feel, and the more the world will be blessed. And so it is. Amen.